What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's Jake Volnick, Spencer German with you till... I said our names backwards. People now think I'm Jake Volnick and you're Spencer German, but whatever. It works.
I have an opportunity to do something crazy. I don't know what it is, but I'm Spencer German for the next 3 minutes in everybody's head, and I got something. I don't know.
He's going to try to get me fired, huh? Yeah, no, that was Spencer who said that. That wasn't Jake who said that crazy thing and got the FCC calling us.
No,
what are you talking about?
I was just stuffed up. I was sick. So you thought that it was Spencer that was talking, but that was me.
We're only here till 6 today, wrapping up your MLK Day lineup here on 92.3 The Fan. And Jake, as he alluded to, has been sick for the last, what would you say, like 5 days, 6 days? Has it been longer than that?
It started Wednesday, so we're on day 5.
Okay. Yeah, what's that they say? Like it's a week coming in and then a week going type thing. So you're like towards the tail end of it leaving, I guess. So that's good. You're on the upswing.
Yeah, I feel better today. So that was other than I sound a little congested and I have a cough.
That is like the thing that stinks in this business is like when you're sick. First of all, it's hard to take off in this business anyway, because like, there's only so many people who can like do what we do, obviously.
Right.
But like at the same time, like when you're sick, you still feel inclined to go to work. But then you sometimes have to be like talked into not going because they're like, dude, like this job requires your voice and it requires you to be able to like talk without sounding like you're dying every 5 seconds. So you can't just like show up and wing it. So yeah, that gets hard when you don't feel good. So I know that what that's like. I know I've been there myself where like I want to show up and work, especially as a part timer because you're like fighting for opportunities. So
right.
I know where you've been, man. I get that. Did you actually take off any? Did you skip any shifts last week? Or
no,
were you here?
I ended up not going to my other job that requires me to be up and moving around.
You was it Friday last week? Because I was Thursday, so I assumed you were Friday.
Yeah, I was Wednesday, which I started. I felt fine by the end of it. And then Friday, I powered through. Yesterday, I powered through.
Was Thursday the worst day? Was that the day you felt the worst?
Okay. Yes, that was absolutely.
Because that was the day we were recording an interview for the podcast, and you were like, dude, I can't do this.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance that if I worked that day, that I would have been here. No chance. I got up out of bed at 6 p.m., Spencer. It was
That would have been the fastest show prep ever. Yeah, hey, I got an hour, and I got to drive to the station, too, so I got 20 minutes to prep for this show.
By the way, I didn't shower, didn't brush my teeth. I look unpresentable. It's fine.
Yeah, you don't want to show up at this station without doing the hygiene things because you will get called out totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, Keith, I think, keeps like a running list of people who like who show up and smell at work. I'm pretty sure like Ken and Lima will call you out. Now, you wouldn't have been with Ken and Lima, but you would have maybe crossed paths with like Nick and JP. And then, you know, the next day it would have been fodder on their show because nothing is sacred to them, where they would have been like, that Jake Volnick, man, he didn't brush his teeth yesterday. 2 months, like, how many times a day should you brush your teeth? They would 100% made that content. But like we're kind of doing right now with your expense with taking medicine, because you told me before the show that you realized during this illness that you're still a child when it comes to taking medicine, and I just don't understand why you don't just, like, suck it up and take your medicine like a man, Jake. Like, what's going on?
So, like, when it comes to pills and stuff, I have no problem. Like, it is what it is. Ever since I was a child, though, I've always struggled to take liquid medicine. Like, it's terrible. Okay. I don't think anybody thinks it tastes good, but, like, it tastes bad, and for some reason, to me, it tastes, like, extremely bad. Like,
there are some medicines that don't taste that bad, though.
No, like, okay, I dispense
it. Like, Pepto? Pepto's not bad.
Pepto's actually, like, okay, but I'm not, like,
Pepto's kind of dangerous, because it's, like, got a enough flavor to it that it's, like,
it's not bad.
If it was just, like, a normal drink, you would probably just drink it.
Pepto bubblegum? Is that the flavor that is attached to it?
I think it might be bubblegum.
There's bubblegum.
I think there's multiple flavors, though. I think there's multiple flavors.
But I think it's the most common one you see when you go to any retail store.
Yeah, I think that probably is, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not a bubblegum person. I hate bubblegum, so it makes sense that I don't really like Pepto either.
You don't have the big game chew that you, as a big baseball guy?
I did that. I just found the other flavors, you know, the apple, the grape, all those different ones.
The apple was good.
Yeah.
The only thing that stunk about Big Game Chew, by the way, was like the flavor was gone. Like no, like it's.
Oh, it lasted like 3 seconds.
Like Big Game Chew is surviving off of like name recognition alone, and the fact that it's like associated with baseball players and sports. Other than that, like the flavor goes away within like seconds. It's kind of worthless gum in the grand scheme of things. But anyway.
Yeah. So the liquid medicine. I realized, and I didn't want liquid medicine in the first place, right? If it was up to me, I just wouldn't take any medicine, but that's stupid. That's a little bit of a dumb move. So we got to stay on top of it and try to get better. Didn't want to have to take liquid medicine. It was what was available. So I was like, okay, whatever. We'll suck it up. We'll take it. I realized I poured my little little shot, my medicine shot into the cup, and I'm about to take it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I can't do this. Like, I hate this. Oh, this is disgusting. So I literally, as if I am a child, I put the cup in my right hand, take my left hand, I pinch my nose, tilt my head back, drink it. And you know what I had to wash it down, Spencer? I had a cup of Kool-Aid. I don't even drink Kool-Aid normally.
I made
Kool-Aid to take my medicine. I had Kool-Aid made to take my medicine.
Do you drink whiskey?
I do drink whiskey. No problem. I'm telling you, I could take a shot. I would not flinch. Okay? I could take a drink from the bottle.
If you can take shots of alcohol, different flavors of alcohol, some that don't taste all that good anyway, you should be able to take medicine.
Nope. I could take a shot of whiskey and not flinch. I could take... Now, there's liquor that would make me flinch for sure. Like, I'm not a tequila person. I'll flinch. There is... What is it? Cognac or whatever Hennessy is. Like I take that. I am not only flinching, but also going to be face up in the toilet. And I mean face up. We're going in the air. I basically have to. I'm a little kid. I have a drink that I have to take with my medicine. It takes me like two gulps to get it down. Like I have to take it in two parts, and it should just be like a swishing down. I feel like I'm like 12 taking my medicine. It is terrible, but I've never been able to do it since I was a kid.
You got to grow up, Jake. This is what this is all. I mean, does anybody else do that, Meredith? When you take medicine, you just take the medicine, right?
No, I actually. So I got in a ton of trouble with my aunt some time ago. My cousin, he's 19 now, but when he was like 4 or 5 and he was sick and my aunt was trying to get him to take medicine, I taught him how to do the cheers, tap on the table, and then throw it back like a shot.
So that's what you do with medicine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I take pills. I don't do liquid medicine. Okay. But I was teaching my little like 4 or 5 year old cousin to do that. And I cannot tell you how angry my aunt got at me for doing the teaching my cousin, my little baby cousin how to throw back
a
shot.
I defend you on that, Meredith. I think that's a fun way to get a kid that doesn't want to take medicine to take medicine. You make it into a game.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. They enjoy that. Yeah, I respect the fact that you did that. Like that's like parenting 101 right there. It's like you gotta try to sell your child to do something that they don't want to do. How can you make it more fun? Hey, let's do like the shot taking game. They don't know the difference to them. It's just medicine.
Oh yeah, he had no idea. I told him to throw it back like a shot, and my aunt got mad at that also. But like, it's not like I was giving him alcohol. He was just taking Dimetapp or whatever you give kids, you know.
I so it's funny though, like the thing with you had that experience, I guess, with liquid medicine. Liquid medicine's always been like my right hand man when I'm sick. That's the go-to. I had a problem with pills when I was younger, because at one point I had to take some pill and it was a bigger pill. And like I sort of choked on it, like gagged on it. It was terrible. And so for years, I like swore off taking pills. My parents would be like, why don't you take this? I'd be like, no, I'm good. I probably didn't take pills from like the time I was like, I don't know, like 6 until I was probably like, I don't know, like in high school, because I was just deathly afraid of taking pills after that one moment in time. And then I started doing it and I was like, it's not really not that big of a deal anymore. So, but yeah, like I had the opposite, but I've also gotten over that because I'm an adult, Jake.
Well, we kind of had a similar experience. I turned my liquid medicine as a 6-year-old into a projectile across my, my kitchen.
You threw it up.
It was grape flavored, not good. I remember it like it was yesterday. Not a good sign.
But grape flavor is not even bad. That's the best flavor.
It's not good. This is the thing. Everyone's like, it's flavored. It's delicious. No, it still sucks.
I will agree with Jake. None of the flavors are good, but I just take like the gel caps, whatever.
Yeah, it's way better. I just didn't have access to those. I wanted access to those.
Did you like not go to the drugstore or something? Did they not have them?
No, I had what was in my house.
Oh, okay.
I had what was already there.
Yeah, you should have just gone to like 7-Eleven or the drugstore or whatever.
Yeah, I think I might at this point because like I'm still to the point where I'm probably needing to take cough medicine. I mean, we're there and I don't know that I can do another.
When I start getting sick, I take DayQuil like it's water. Like I'll just start drinking it. Like I'm not even kidding. And I don't care. It's just whatever. I'm just used to the flavor at this point.
No, there's nothing that can get me used to that flavor. No, it's not,
mind over matter.
It's not mind over. It's not.
If you can do it with alcohol, you can do it with medicine. You know it's mind over matter.
No, I'm putting my fist down. Alcohol is a liquid. This is like a fluid. It is a gel that I'm pouring into a cup and then having to consume.
I thought you were gonna say alcohol. You drink it with a purpose, and that purpose is to get drunk. But I was like, yeah, medicine. You take with a purpose too to get better, so you're not sick anymore. You're
saying, is it like a texture thing? Is it the viscosity of the liquid?
It's definitely okay. The taste is. It is mixed in. I mean, it is both things.
I can't get the texture thing because I don't like bananas. Because I think bananas, like when you chew the banana, like it's the texture that throws me off. Like I can't stand it. But like, it's just not that big of a deal. Like you got to grow up at some point.
Hody,
I was gonna say you kind of strike me as somebody who would plug their nose when they take medicine. No offense.
Well, actually, that is not the case. But I wanted to say around 2016-17 when I was in high school, I was sick around Christmas time. And I took a liquid medicine, right, to help me feel better from it. I believe it was, I forget the type of medicine I took, it tasted so much like eggnog. And I drank a glass of eggnog literally around Christmas at the same time, and now I can never drink eggnog again.
Are you telling us that you were underage drinking? Is that
no, not at all.
Oh, this
absolutely
was when
not.
You
this
were,
was this just was, pure oh, okay. eggnog. Pure eggnog. And it tasted so much like this other liquid medicine.
What medicine tastes like eggnog?
I don't know, because they all taste like the, I don't know, underside of a shoe.
I know.
That's what they taste
Let's
like.
Let's bring in all the liquid medicines and just test till we find the one that tastes like eggnog.
And I can
That'll
never
go over well.
I can never drink a glass of eggnog the same again.
You get a new sponsor out of it, though.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of that the purple drink. A little bit of who does the styrofoam cups?
Jamarcus Russell. Calling Jamarcus Russell. Yeah.
Styrofoam cup sponsorship.
216-474-0092. Does Jake need to grow up and start taking his medicine like a man? Also, the Ryan Day redemption arc is something that I don't even think Ohio State fans could have ever dreamed up. We'll talk about it coming up next. Plus, has the idea of a bridge quarterback just basically died in the water after this weekend? As we get back to the Browns, we got the 5 at 5 and 5. A lot of good stuff still to come. Jake Volnick, Spencer German, right here with you on 92 through the Fan. Like the idea that Jared Goff essentially was the king of the reclamation project quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Like he was the one who he was in LA, got to a Super Bowl, but seemed like he had limitations, gets traded. And that trade at the time was like, yeah, we'll just take him off your hands, get a bunch of picks in return. Nobody thought he was actually going to turn into a great starter for them. And because of his offensive coordinator tapping into his strengths, he's been really good. But we saw this weekend that there's like a limit to that. There's only so far you can get with that. I think this actually ties in nicely to another part of the conversation that that we had with Matt Verderam earlier today. Because we asked him about like, are the Browns a quarterback away? And he fired back at us with, well, it depends on what you define as a quarterback away. Like, were you talking a quarterback away from the Super Bowl, or are you talking a quarterback away from the playoffs? And so, like, what expectation are you trying to achieve here? Because, yeah, like, I agree. The bridge quarterback option probably isn't something that the Browns can bank on being the thing that gets them to the Super Bowl next year. But it could be something that gets them back to the playoffs. And so I think these two things kind of tie in with each other pretty nicely. It kind of comes down to, I guess, like what your expectations are going to be for next season. But I think if you're watching this weekend and you watch Jared Goff falter and you watch Sam Darnold lose the last two games of their season with the Vikings the way that he did, I think it's fair to say like, yeah, the reclamation project route isn't great, but it might just be like, it isn't great in terms of getting you to the Super Bowl. If your goal is just to get to the playoffs, I think you can obviously that can happen and that can work.
It's achievable. The only problem you run into at the Browns is okay, like my goal next year, I would set it at make the playoffs. Like I would like to see the Browns make the playoffs next year. As much as they're saying, hey, we're a lot closer than people think. We're right there. We're knocking on the door. We like Denzel Ward pointing out, hey, you get the quarterback position figured out, we'll probably be fine. Like it's a start to everything going right. I would like to see you get to the playoffs, but the problem you run into with the Browns is if you go the route of, oh, I'll take the bridge quarterback and I'll find the bridge quarterback that can get me there. Okay. It doesn't get you there for very long, right? Like, yeah. In an ideal scenario, maybe you get like a Justin Fields, a Daniel Jones. I'm trying to think of guys who are like 27, 28, like still very much a Sam Darnold in that same exact category.
You kind of got to go into it expecting you're only going to get like maybe 1 or 2 years out of this.
Exactly. That's the problem, is that you are getting a bridge quarterback. These reclamation project quarterbacks have yet to turn into, hey, I can keep this guy long term. Which means that you need a long-term solution if you're the Cleveland Browns, which if you make the playoffs, where does your long-term solution come in?
Well, so it's interesting because there could be a path here where you kind of do both. Because in theory, like let's just say they like Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and they're going to draft one at number two. Okay. Maybe they envision a world where they still go get Kirk Cousins and he starts this year. And does bridge that gap to the playoffs, and then that guy takes over. Or maybe they draft somebody in later on, like a Jalen Milroe or something who's worked with Tommy Rees, and they're like, well, he's our quarterback of the future. And they start. So I think there's still a path where, like, the Browns could try to sort of do both. But, yeah, like, it's not that it can't work. It just has limitations in terms of what you can do. And to your point, Jake, like, you got to know you're only going to get, like, 1 or 2 years out of this. But for where the Browns are at right now, the Deshaun Watson debacle hanging overhead as this dark cloud, trying to sort of work around that situation as best you can and tiptoe around it with the financial constraints that come with it. Like, I do think the goal for next year is just get to the playoffs. And if you do that, I think that steadies the water a little bit. I think that calms the hot seat around Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. And it gets everybody kind of back on board with like, okay, now, because going to the next year, everybody's going to say it's make it or break it for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. If they don't get back to the playoffs, if they don't have success, if they have another, you know, short or very minimal win season, 3 to 6 wins, they're probably getting fired. And so if you get back to the playoffs, that calms everybody down and gives you more time then to execute whatever your plan is moving forward to find that franchise guy if you don't find him this year. And they obviously can find him this year, and that maybe kills both, you know, that solves all your problems. But again, if you don't, like, it's not that I think the bridge quarterback option is dead, because I think for where the Browns are at and what their goals are next year, the playoffs should be the first thing. But I do wonder if Browns fans feel like that's selling them short. Like, if, especially after a season where it was like, Super Bowl, with this team could get there. Their roster's talented enough to do that. I wonder if people are going to go in with the same sort of expectation. Again, a lot of it, that depends on what they do, of feeling like, well, I don't want to just get to the playoffs. Like, that's not enough for me anymore. I don't think it'll be that way, because I know Browns fans, like, they've waited so long for playoff appearances. They'll take one if you give it to them. But at the same time, like, it is kind of coming to terms with the reality that I guess this team is in, which is a much different reality than where they were even a year ago this time.
Yeah, I just think coming off the back of 3-14, if you have higher expectations and make the playoffs,
yeah,
you're setting the bar too high. Like, if something went wrong this year, they are decimated at quarterback, scrambling for a solution. If they make the playoffs, that's a good bar, especially when you're looking at, hey, do I need to fire my head coach? But when you talk quarterback, that's what you run into in the problem that you go here. I think if you go to, like, the bridge quarterback option, right? Like, let's say you give me Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins struggles and doesn't get you to where you want to be, and you're drafting and sitting on a quarterback. And so, okay, bad season. Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski gone.
Well, you'd only sit on that quarterback if again, using the Kirk Cousins scenario, if Kirk Cousins struggles, at some point you're going to play that quarterback. Like, I'm going to assume this isn't going to go how Deshaun Watson did, and it's going to be like, we still think he gives us the best chance to win when the offense is scoring like 5 points, that's a random number, 3 points a game, 10 points a game. Like, I'm assuming they would go to that guy at some point. And I do think, too, like, nowadays the process on rookies is expedited. It's rare that you get a team that actually sits a rookie for an entire season anymore. But, like, yeah, I see what you're saying in the grand scheme of things. But, yeah, like, I think, like, that's how that would play out if he struggles. But if he plays well, you maybe can give that rookie a year to sort of sit.
I just think it's inevitable at any point. If you draft a guy, he's going to play. You might as well just play him from the start. Like, you don't think the Patriots should have played Drake May from the start? You think him sitting for 7 weeks really made the difference?
See, but the Patriots are in a different situation because the Patriots are
bad looking.
I mean, I guess if you're Gerard Mayo looking back, you're like, man, if we had won, maybe I wouldn't have lost my job. So I guess that from that standpoint, but we knew like the Patriots are a team like in a true and total rebuild. The Browns is different. We've had the debates about whether or not they should do that. But right now, like they're in a situation where it's like, no, we are a competitive team. We should be a competitive team. Okay, so if that's the case, like your expectation by default is already going to be higher than just like, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong that Drake May shouldn't have probably played sooner because you could have evaluated him more, but I'm just saying like for the Browns, if they're trying to sort of figure out like, let's be good, get to the playoffs, like you honestly, like there's a case to be made, like even if they take somebody at two, starting that guy immediately is still a risk for a Browns team that has a lot at stake this year in terms of jobs and everything else. Because if you didn't pick the right guy, that's going to be found out pretty quickly. And then you're going to look like you just still botched the chance you had to land this quarterback. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's a risk either way. Right, of course. But I don't know. I think you run into a scenario like the Falcons ran into this year, speaking of Kirk. Like, Raheem Morris sat on Kirk Cousins, who played well in the beginning of the year. Don't get me wrong.
A little too long.
Yeah, and then the last 6 weeks he plays, he looks like an absolute pumpkin. And you could have made the playoffs, probably made a run in the playoffs, had Michael Penix been playing the whole time because he stepped in and looked really good.
No, I mean, it's a good point. But like I said, I just think like if you're the Browns, you're going to the next year, like we got to make sure we're winning immediately. And if you're not sure that quarterback's going to be ready, because again, they have a lot to prove. There's a lot at stake. Jobs are on the line. And whether or not we want them to draft and build a team based off of their job security, that's going to come into play. It's on some level. Like they know they have to get to the playoffs next year largely or have a winning season. You know, if they missed the playoffs and they were like, you know, a bunch of teams that were like 10-7, I don't think anyone's going to be mad. But like, well, they'd be mad, but it would be like, you're not going to lose your job over that, I wouldn't think. But yeah, like it's, there might be roulette. They might evaluate it and feel like there's less risk involved with like a bridge guy to accomplishing that goal than even with a rookie. That's all I'm saying.
I just feel like when you draft a guy that high, how many guys have we seen draft in the top three that have sat more than a few games? Like Drake May is like the only one I can think of off the top of my head within the last few years. Trey Lance, but he was garbage, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, he's never really amounted to much. I mean, Baker didn't start immediately.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
Part of that was Hugh Jackson, but
yeah, and them intentionally trying to lose
games. He congratulated him on getting the backup quarterback job.
Yeah, clearly the Browns had everything figured out at that point, so that was good. It's an odd scenario. I just feel like when you have a guy drafted that high, you just go in and you trust him. And if we're going for job security, I get it. Like, who doesn't want to keep their job? Also, you're in a prove it year. Like, well, are you trying to prove it by winning six games? Or are you trying to prove it by hitting a home run?
You are in a prove a year, but I also think, too, like, that rookie quarterback is your get-out-of-jail-free card in a lot of ways, too, for these guys.
It wasn't for Gerard Mayo. He was a first-year head coach.
Yeah, but
He should have had double the leash.
I just think about how many teams, though, like, draft that quarterback and try to stash him, and, like, that's the last card you get to play. Like, even if it doesn't actually save your job, it's the last move you can make before you to, like, try to save your job. If you start him immediately and he struggles, that might cost you your job. If you wait and then your team struggles and then you bring them in and there's like this spark, all of a sudden it's like, oh, now maybe they can be saved. So there's different sort of avenues to this. But I think the concept of is a bridge quarterback still something that is a viable option for the Browns, I say yes to that because I do think, even though we saw this weekend and last weekend really with the wild card round, that concept of quarterback play gets exposed on that stage because the teams are just better and the quarterbacks are better that you're going up against. I still think it's something that can be on the table for the Browns because I don't think their goal is win the Super Bowl next year. I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that, like, And on some level, they kind of have to work to identify both, because they got to start planning for the future, even if that isn't getting... Like, even if their plan for the future is like, we're going to trade up and get one next year, fine. But they got to have some sense of like what they're going to do, because this is only going to buy you like a year, maybe two.
Yeah, even if it's trade up and get one next year, that doesn't get you any leeway, any room, if you're Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. So it's like...
Well, but it does if you get your team to the playoffs this year and sort of and calm everybody down, and then you draft one.
Well, then you're banking on bridge quarterbacks, which... It's possible. A couple teams did it this year. I just... Overall, they don't work very well.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of them could get you to the playoffs. I don't even think we can consider Jared Goff in that realm anymore. Like, he's just a Detroit Lion. I mean, he is still, like, the reclamation project. But, like, he was there. Darnold was there. And, oh, wow. If you don't want to be the, like, exemplary make-me-this team, Russell Wilson and the Steelers were there.
Have you crossed off getting a bridge quarterback for the Browns this offseason based on how they performed in the postseason? Or do you think it's, you know, a year with that as your quarterback is okay, given what the Browns' sort of goal might be for next year, which Jake and I are sort of putting at simply being, yeah, if you make the playoffs, I think everyone's okay. 216-474-0092 at Spencito _ at Volnick Jake on X for each of us. We will get to your calls on this. Also coming up, guys, we will finally touch on what I think is maybe the greatest sports redemption story. Maybe not the greatest, but the fastest sports redemption story in the history of sports. Coming up in about 6 minutes or so, right here on 92 Through the Fan. Dropped an episode this morning talking more in depth about this game. And a topic that we're actually going to bring to the air here coming up in the final hour of the show, whether or not a loss to Michigan will taint a championship run for the Buckeyes if they pull it off tonight. So we'll get to that coming up. We also got to get to this Ryan Day thing finally. But real quick, Dwayne in Cleveland, you're up on the Fan. What's up, Dwayne?
What's going on, Dwayne?
I just have a question in regards to the whole Kirk Cousins option, because he's still Atlanta Falcon. He hasn't been released yet, and I don't think the Browns are going to trade for him, because he's too expensive. He's owed $100 million, you know, guaranteed. Why isn't we talking about, like, other options, like of Mac Jones or Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Trask, to, like, Cooper Rush, as a viable bridge option as for a quarterback for the Browns, at least in the future, and then try to use that second pick to try to get, you know, the guy to help Myles Garrett? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Dwayne, I appreciate the call. I assume the guy he means to help Myles Garrett is Abdul Carter. But so here's my stance on this. There's probably some exceptions, so I don't want to say there's none. But given where the Browns are at from the quarterback position, there's really like not a lot of bad ideas when it comes to the quarterback position right now. Like, I'll try anything. I'll try Kyle Trask. I would try most of these names that have been thrown out there, because
Julian Edelman, bring him on.
Out of retirement. That's right.
Yep. And now, well, out of position.
That's one of those ones that's like not within reason, obviously. Like there
he's a quarterback in college.
There are
he's
some,
like 38.
He's also like 50 now. I'm exaggerating. He's not really 50.
He's probably like 38.
But regardless,
he's got to be younger than Brady, right?
There's obviously like a within reason here, but I'm saying like there's not really, to me, a lot of bad ideas when it comes to finding a solution, because they need some...
Superpower. 38.
Wow. Look at you.
I have joked several times while doing the quarterback big board.
You missed your calling in life. You should be one of those carnies that guesses people's ages at the fair.
Yeah, no, I think I'd just get fired doing that. I think that's usually what would happen.
Because you get it right too much?
No, I'd probably get it wrong. I'd probably disrespect somebody. Somebody's disrespected me on one of those before.
Are you ageist, Jake?
Yeah. I've usually get told I carry my weight well, and I did one of the weight ones of that, the weight version, and they overshot me by like 40 pounds. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's so rude. Yeah, I would never want to do the weight one, because that you're flirting on a very fine line when like some woman comes walking by and you try to guess her weight and then you're wrong and then you get like slapped or sued or whatever. So the weight one, yeah, I'm good. But the age one, you know, that's like all in good fun. Like, you know. It's whatever.
I think you should take Jackson and make him do that. I think it's hilarious when little kids try to guess people's ages. Like, how old do you think this person is?
10.
120. Like, what?
No, everything for a kid is, like, lower, though. Because, like, kids all think, like, 10 is, like, millions of years away. Like, because they have no, like, Jackson can barely even count to 10. He does, like, for him, 10, yeah. 10 is probably like how old he thinks I am. Because he's like, oh, you're 10, Daddy. Like, he has no idea.
Yeah, we probably got to get him, like, another year or two under his belt.
He's got to, like, really understand. Yeah, exactly.
And then he'll start calling people 100 when they're really 30.
Well, and it's funny when a kid says it, because everyone's just like, oh, you silly kid. When an adult says it, it's just always offensive. So, yeah.
Then we just extend it out, and it's like, Jackson gets within 50 years of your age.
He wins.
Then the house wins.
By the way, more changes are on the way for the Browns, as they'll have a new quarterback, like we talked about. And a new offense. Well, really, the same offense, but, you know, different offense from this past year. Meanwhile, the Cavs are making a run of the number one seed in the East. They're actually in action right now. You can follow every bit of news. And don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday. Stream us at 92thefan.com or on your smartphone with the free Odyssey app. That went much better this time. That was a much better job. I learned
absolutely
from my mistakes.
It.
So, Jake, speaking of learning from your mistakes, Ryan Day is on what I have been describing as like the craziest meteoric rise to redemption that we've maybe ever seen in sports. And I just keep thinking about this, man. Like,
I'm going to be honest with you. You really got to sell me on this. You don't think so?
Like,
I immediately hear this and I go, no.
I'm just trying to think about like people who have gone this quick from like, with the exception of obviously like guy makes a bad play in a game and then like makes a good play in a game and like saves the day.
Okay, yes.
But like I'm saying like from an overarching standpoint, like it's been all bad for Ryan Day. This year was so much pressure, gotta win, blah, blah, blah. And you have that scene against Michigan, which was 51 days ago, only 51 days ago as of today. And he's standing there with this despondent, blank look on his face. And we're all talking about, we talked about on Such of the Shoe, that was like the lowest moment in program history, worst loss in the rivalry's history. That team's not winning a championship. To go from that, where he's standing there asking his own players, hey, what happened out there? As they're like fighting on the field because he has no idea what's going on. And he looks lost. And he looks like he's ready to quit. And he needed to hire extra security at his house because people were so adamant that he needed to go and that he didn't know what they were going to do. To all of a sudden, he is 60 minutes away from potentially never having to buy a drink, food. I mean, hell, he might end up being on the ballot for governor of Ohio next year in some people's eyes if he pulls this off tonight and makes this run at a national championship. I just can't I can't in my sports history bank memory. I can't think of somebody who has redeemed themselves that quickly. Again, a month and a half. This guy goes from being like, fire him. He's the worst. He can't do it anymore. He's got to go. And looking like he was a complete shell of himself, of a person, just curled up in a ball like he wanted to be in the fetal position. Like, just from that image to the image potentially of him hoisting a trophy and everybody loving him again, I don't know if there's anything like it. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Again, that's more of like an overarching story of somebody's, like, the way that we sort of see somebody than I can this Ryan Day redemption arc. It's just, it's crazy to me. It's wild.
Like, I see where you're coming from, but I feel like that's only in the eyes of the Ohio State fan. Like, if you asked any of the national pundits, heck, if you asked the athletic director at Ohio State, Ross Bjork, he would have told you that Ryan Day was never out of here, right? Ryan Day was never really
on the hot
seat. He
could lose to Michigan five more times and he's safe.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that is pretty, Ross Bjork didn't say that, but he was like, yeah, we're too overreactionary. Like, he's lost to Michigan, we're going to be okay. Like, you still have the college football playoffs ahead of you, and even if not, didn't sound like he was getting fired anyway. Like, I feel like it was just the Ohio State fan being like, Ryan Day's dead to us. This man is good as out on the curb with a little sack to carry his stuff. Like, that is how we felt
about
Ryan Day.
You're talking like the little like sack on the stick over the shoulder.
I like the reference though
because that's like old school, like, gear, get out of here. Like, pack your stuff and go. You got to fold it in a blanket and tie it around the end of a stick.
Yep. Yeah. That's how he was carrying his stuff out of his office in our head. But like, to everybody else that wasn't in Ohio, pretty much, like, it wasn't an Ohio State fan, was like, you guys are going to fire Ryan Day? They just won 85% of his game. Like, that's what the national pundits are saying. I'm not even defending him on that level in a way that
you're just saying before. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But, like, that's what everybody else would have said. Like, you're going to fire him because he's lost to your rival a couple of times? Like, that's what we're going out for right now? That's why this guy's out? Like, to me, not his fast turnarounds, but, like, look at other careers, not in the same places, but, like, Bill Belichick went from really bad to start his career to six-time Super Bowl champion. Tom Brady went from six-round draft pick in a year to, like, Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Tom Brady didn't have, like, some negative connotation with him either. Like,
he's just a six-round pick who would probably never play.
But he also, like, won a Super Bowl quickly, and then it was like he continued to build that legacy, obviously, to become, like, okay, right. He was not just a six-round pick. I mean, some of the
I'm
other
just
ones
trying I, to think of something off right, the top no, of my
I
got head.
You. I mean, some of the ones I think of are, like, and this is a completely different situation, because Ryan Day, as his crimes are as silly as you couldn't beat Michigan and you haven't won a national championship, but, like, Mike Vick went to jail, right? And then he came back. Yeah. And I think Mike Vick's got a great redemption story in sports. Like, he came back, he made the playoffs with the Eagles, he had a couple good years, like, he sort of redeemed himself from a standpoint of, like, he does a lot of, he has been out speaking on, like, the dogfighting thing and how it's wrong and, like, animal cruelty, and he got a chance to sort of redeem himself in football. So, yeah, like, there's other examples that are, like, more extreme, but all those things I still point to and say, like, they took time. I don't know if there's ever been a person who, like, universally, a fan base wanted to run out of town, and they saved their job this quickly. Because it usually doesn't happen like that. Like, it doesn't usually happen where, like, if somebody's university, like, they got to go, or we hate them, and it's time, they don't usually really have the opportunity to turn it around the way that he has. I don't know. And maybe it is just an Ohio State fan perspective. I get what you're saying, where, like, the national narrative was never like this. So maybe that's just the facts of the situation. But I find it fascinating, and I think it's maybe one of the more fascinating storylines going into tonight in general.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's probably one of the faster ones, but it's just so small scale to me.
I can see that. 51 days, though. That's pretty impressive. Let's go to Tommy in Independence. Tommy, what's up?
What's up, Tommy?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. So you guys kind of not really took the thunder out, but you hit on a couple points I was going to bring up. So you were talking about Ryan Day, Spencer. See, here's the thing. The guy never stunk as a coach. So the meteoric rise and whatnot right now, maybe so. But, you know, the three or four losses to Michigan and the, two or three losses in previous bowl games or national championship game, other than that, the dude is like 69-3. Like, I'm a big Ohio State homer. I know we got to beat Michigan. I get that and I understand that. But, like, unless Tressel or Urban Meyer are coming back, who are we getting? I know it's Ohio State. There's people out there. I get that. But, I mean, you know, this dude is pretty doggone good, man. I mean, we got to – and I'm not saying you. We got to cut him just a tiny bit of slack, probably even if he loses this game tonight, which I don't think they will. But, I mean, the dude's like 69-3 other than Michigan and a couple of Bulls. But that's all I wanted to touch on, man. All right. Go Cavs. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tommy.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I do think there's Ohio State fans who have that same feeling. And I think there's obviously, like you said, the national perspective is exactly what Tommy just said. Like, he's a great coach. Why would you want to get rid of him? And I don't think he's getting fired if he loses tonight, by the way. This was more so like, you know, looking back and getting to this point. Like, his job's totally safe now. Let's get DP and Cleveland in here real quick. DP, we got like 30 seconds, man.
Yeah, so I just want to point out Jim Harbaugh couldn't beat Ohio State, and then all of a sudden he got it together and shot up to the national championship, and now he's back in the NFL. So that's a great story. But also, Kurt Warner couldn't find a job, and then when he finally got his chance, he went all the way to the Super Bowl and won.
That's a good one, too.
That is good, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, those are some good examples, DP.
Those are both good.
And listen, like the Kurt Warner one's fun, even though they made it into like a really corny movie, which I thought was like...
Did you watch that, by the way?
It was kind of cringy.
I watched it too. It was really cringy. I actually fell asleep during it.
That's the thing I hate about that. So that's the thing I hate about some of these sports stories. Like, some of them are great. Like, Remember the Titans is a great movie, even though there's some things that like aren't factually accurate.
Yeah,
whatever.
A couple liberties
but
taken.
Like, there's some of these movies nowadays that they just like, they rush to turn into a story or a movie. It gets treated like it's like a caricature. Like it's so gimmicky, and it's like people care about this goofy story. Like I don't know. I just don't like the way they tell those stories.
Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah.
Like is that? Do we really need a story on that?
Man. Like I just think some of it's just like I don't know, like these inspirational stories, they go a little too over the top, and then it loses its purpose when it's just like too corny. But anyway, we'll get back to Ohio State coming up, because we also want to know if the Michigan loss taints a potential Ohio State championship tonight. Jake and I have some thoughts on it. I'm sure you do as well. Coming up next, though, Meredith jumps on in with us as we do the 5 at 5, a afternoon drive staple here on The Fan.